Scripture for this morning's meditation is recorded in Isaiah, the 65th chapter, verses 1 and 2. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that was not called by my name. I've stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts. This is our text. Hi, my name is Don Molstead. And there's air in my mouth and upon the page, but by God's grace, not after this statement. I've ever remember that day in high school. Front page, National Enquirer. Of course, we knew the story. We'd heard it. We'd seen it in the local paper earlier. The story of the 20-year-old man, young man, who had murdered the young girl up in Onalaska. Took all the knives in the house, and when he was done, she was in pieces in the garbage bag. What made the morbid story more disturbing was the fact that I was personally acquainted with him. My father was a pigeon fancier. He owned a loft of racing pigeons, and it was not uncommon to have people come by and see your flock. And this man showed up on a couple of occasions. He apparently liked pigeons. And I can still remember the day that my father allowed the man to hold that bird gently, one of our prize homers that had raised other winners, hold him in his hand so gently. He seemed then a bit strange, but really not so much stranger than any stranger you see, or maybe the one that you see when you look in the mirror in the morning. I thought of this incident Sunday when I was considering a series of questions that students from my apologetics class had put together for an open topics day that we were going to have. One of the questions asked, how can we believe in a God who seems so contradictory and cruel in his actions? For example, Old Testament instances where God wipes out entire nations. God sends his people to wipe out men, women, and children. When I thought about that man's crime, when I thought about the Cambodian Khmer Rouge and the German Nazis and all the other genocide groups, men, women, children in evil uniforms carrying out such deeds, killing millions of others. When I thought about the pictures of young Islamic terrorist children, age 5, being taught to go and kill others at a young age, the idea of a just God that punishes evil nations did not seem so strange. Humanly speaking, justice by our standards punishes those that are evil. The Bible teaches that we are all, by nature, no better. Jeremiah says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" I thought back to the days when I was in seminary, taking that trip to the state prison. And there, gathering before that group of laity, Wells laity, of course I was in Wells at the time, elementary school teacher, pastor, all behind bars. Just enough people to form a new synod. Could be you and me, for all of us are guilty of sinning before a holy God. We are all sinners, And the Bible clearly teaches that God is a just and vengeful God, and he does punish evil, and he will punish evil. And sometimes he punishes evil in this life, but not always. But he will on the last day send all those who are sinners, unrepentant sinners, to hell. God will judge them. And that God will punish all evil doers is very clear from Scripture. What is not always so clear is how a much more gracious God, an image of God, the very same God, is to be found in Scripture. This Old Testament text clearly teaches that the Lord, to use a popular term, is a proactive God, a God who takes the initiative to save us. And here is an image, like so many other images in Scripture, of a God of love. Even to this day, without qualification, he, quote, citing our text, stretches out his hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in ways that are not good, according to their own thoughts. And so he says to all of us today, repent. Be sorry for your sins. Turn away from practicing them, whatever they may be. Sins of the body, they're all sins of the body. From beginning to end, what is yours? What is mine? Turn away from them. Live in daily contrition and repentance. And of course, this verse has specifically Israel in mind. They are the Jews. That is specifically who this verse is addressed to, verse 2, the Jews. But Paul reminds us in his letter to the Romans that we are the new Jews. We are the new Israel. And so just as God broke off the branches of unbelieving Israel and he grafted us into that fat olive tree, as Paul refers to it, he has certainly the ability to break us out of that tree and to regraft in the Jews. It's all about faith. It's all about repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. He stretches out his hands all day long to a rebellious people. And so he wants us to be like Samuel, who said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And God will not always stretch out his arms in a welcoming manner. Now is the time of grace. Now, today, is the time of salvation. Today is the day to repent, not tomorrow. Right now is the day to check out our hearts and to repent before God of all the sins that we are, in fact, guilty of. The first verse, speaking about the Gentiles, though, embodies the very nature of this God, not just of punishment, but of grace, his gracious essence. There Isaiah explains that his outstretched arms were not only extended to the rebellious people of Israel and to rebellious Christians, they are extended, really, to those who even were not looking after God. That's the whole point. Grace is about God taking the initiative and reaching out to sinners who were not capable in and of their very nature to go and find God. That's the kind of loving God he was. He stretched out his arms to all the nations, to the Gentiles, calling upon them to believe in him, to see the grace and mercy and forgiveness that are to be found in him. Black ink verses on white grain paper, that's what the scriptures are. But they gained color when God's Son took on human flesh, kept the commandments for us totally, purely, went to the cross, shed his blood, the ink of God, removing our sins. And then he rose again on the third day, on Easter morn, to justify us. There, as St. Paul put it, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we were even born and sinning, Jesus died for us. That's the kind of God we have. Love that found me, wondrous thought. found me when I sought him not. Amen.